Friday we were talking about maybe Saturday doing another prayer and fasting, and you know, I don't know how you want to work it out, but yeah. Here again.
Yeah, oh yes. You know, so if anybody is led by the Spirit, they want to come, you know, to have another day. I haven't talked to my wife, so I don't know what my schedule is yet. You know, she was at a Washington baby all day last night.
So we can get to go get some her.
Because we're really very big. Baby showers. And so anyhow, she didn't come home and go. Yeah, she controls the calendar. So my wife might not be here, but that's okay. I can pray around her.
Well, the other thing that we need to mention, at one point everybody also said, and we used to do this every once in a while, stay at church on Sunday evening, lunch, and, you know, hang around. And so we thought the last Sunday of every month, you either bring a sandwich or a croissant or whatever, you know, make sure you have, if you want to bring something to share, I just don't want it to get real complicated. If you want to bring something to share, bring it. If you want to bring sandwiches for some, bring it.
Stack a lunch Sunday.
We're going to hang out.
Yeah.
If you want to eat, bring some.
Right.
There you go.
Right. So that way somebody doesn't have to cook for 50 people. So the last Sunday of every month, what we'd like to do, and even through the winter, you know, just kind of chill here, bring a lunch. We'll bring a checkerboard out. Who knows? But we'll spend some time.
Throw apples at each other.
Go out. Well, they'll be frozen by then.
Snowballs.
Snowballs. Yeah, we can have snowball fight. We can go. We have this property next door that fills up with snow. And there's actually, it could be fun. You know, because the snow plow gets up, we get those big mounds of snow. We can have, what's that where you ski with one thing? It's kind of like surfing.
Snowboarding.
Yeah, so we can do a snowboard thing for young
people. King of the mountain.
Are you king of the mountain? Amen.
We're going to incorporate all that.
Yeah, we would.
I'm
sure can.
Yeah, if you don't.
Off into the lake, you're going to be fine. That's what we can do on Monday a week, just have that fellowship, more than just coming and studying the Word, which is better than having fellowship with one another, enjoying each other's presence. So, but part of prayer, if y'all want to, next Saturday we meet for prayer every Saturday anyhow here. You know, every Saturday we meet for prayer here about 9 o'clock. And if anybody wants to join in, you can. And if you don't want to eat, thanks. If you want to eat, don't in front of us, because other of us might be fasting. You know? Don't bring donuts. Man, I don't believe I just said that. Always bring donuts.
There you go. Save people from temptation.
And so, anyhow, next Saturday, or any Saturday, we're always here for prayer in the morning. If you want to come, you can. Amen? You got anything? You look real smart.
No, I don't know why.
No, I bet you have something. Something
deep.
Yeah, there you go. It's an obvious
delusion. That's the delusion.
Delusion. Okay, great. Yeah, so that ends very well.
So, we've had a debate for the last couple of weeks. And really, the idea is we're all on the same page. The question is where the disagreement was. It's there's a group of people, and there's a group of people. Both groups, one believes that humans survive and they enter the millennial kingdom in their flesh, and they marry, and they're given in marriage, and then I guess another resurrection would be at the end. And then what I lean to is that I think when Christ comes, everyone's resurrected to damnation or to eternal life when he comes, and they will enter the kingdom in resurrected bodies. And this is the second death. There was one more thing. Oh, the new heaven and the new earth. Mm-hmm. The people that believe that flesh survives, they believe the new heaven and the new earth is that after the great right through judgment. And I just believe it takes place when Jesus Christ comes, the new heaven and the earth. That's it.
Yeah.
I mean, we're on agreement on the timing, the post-trib rapture, all the
temple, spiritual, physical,
right? The second coming, is the day of the Lord when he comes to the earth. Mm-hmm. And the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. To me, their kingdoms are not here. It's his kingdom. He says, when I come in my Father's kingdom, so his kingdom is going to be on earth. And that's another reason why I believe their kingdoms are down here. So, there were some questions. So today I think there will be a third part of the debate. And the debate is interactive, because Jake had an hour and a half. Last week I had more than an hour and a half, and it was a dump load of Bible verses. And nobody really had a chance to respond or give any input. But there was one question. There was a couple questions. And one of them was in Revelation 20. So we'll look at that, and then we'll just open it up for discussion. Like I said all along, I don't believe I know everything. Right. I'm not beyond review. Mm-hmm. You know, God has proven me wrong on some things by himself and by using other people. So I'm not sitting, I know I probably have a personality that runs, I realize that. I'm not for everybody. But what you can't say about me is I'm not bringing Bible verses.
Amen. Right. Amen.
All right? Maybe I sound like I'm mad. I'm not mad. I'm passionate. And maybe I sound like I'm mad and I'm angry. But I do believe that what we do should be according to Scripture and not according to our own thoughts. And if I rub you the wrong way, I'm sorry. I don't want to be a curse to you guys. I'd rather be a blessing. And the only way I know to be a blessing is by bringing the Bible.
Amen.
I mean, you don't have much time.
You know, you don't. I'm a hockey player. I'm on the offense. So, and like I said, but there's one thing I thought we could look at here where I know at least three people asked me about Revelation 20. And this is a common question, because when you read it, it does seem, like Asha said, that God assumes that there's another resurrection. But is that what it says? So if you look at Revelation 20, and you'll see what I'm talking about here. Revelation 20, we'll just start reading at 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and he had a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and he bound him 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit, and he shut him up, and put a seal upon him, that he should not deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed for a little season. And I saw thrones, and they that sat on him, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and the word of God, which they which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark in their forehead or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ. They lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So they lived. The rest of the dead lived not again till 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. So the question was, is who are the rest of the dead? And, you know, what I'll say is, I don't know how to put this.
Can I feel that real quick?
Yeah.
The rest of the dead. In Luke chapter 16, talks about Lazarus and the rich man, right? We know that the ones who are in Abraham's bosom are the ones who had faith, who believed God, and was counted unto them as righteousness. On the other side of the gulf were all those who did not. They were dead. Those are the rest of the dead.
That's right.
In my, and I hate to say belief, but when Jesus died on the cross and he went to the grave and he preached to those who were in captivity, and then he set the captive free, those who were in Abraham's bosom, when he raised up from the dead, Mary Magdalene came to see him, right? Came to the thing and she saw who she thought was the gardener. And she asked him, and he confessed to her, the gardener who she thought it was, confessed that he was the Lord. And she went to worship him and grab a hold to him.
But Jesus told her, don't touch me, because I have not yet ascended to my Father. So 3 days he'd been in the grave, in the place of the dead, Abraham's bosom, preaching to the righteous, preaching to whoever was there, calling out the righteous from Abraham's bosom to go to paradise with him.
You left captivity.
You left the captivity captive. Right. He left the captivity
captive. To the angels that had fallen and
yep.
changed it. In other words, I win, you lose.
Right, absolutely. Right. So he laid that out. So then he brought all of those who believed in Christ, who believed, had faith, he brought them to paradise. He told the thief on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise. Right? So he delivered those, Abraham and all that was in Abraham's bosom, to the throne room of God, to the very sacrifice altar, to the place where they're kept under the altar of incense,
right.
where we read in the Revelation.
Absolutely.
So everybody who has passed away ever since Cain, all the way until the last person that dies, has been held in a place of the dead. Right?
Hell,
prepared.
Prepared. Separated by a gulf.
Amen.
Which no man
can
pass.
Yes.
Which no man can pass.
Absolutely.
Right.
There is a spot there. So everybody who has ever died outside of Christ has been held there until Revelation chapter 20. Because it says that the dead, those who died in the earth, of the grave, those who died in the sea, all those who died outside of Christ will be brought before for their judgment in their own works. That's how I see
right.
it in Scripture.
So, I mean, and there are, I think the idea here is when we think of the dead, we only think of the wicked. But there are two dead people.
Right.
There's the believer, the blessed, that says in Revelation 20,
yeah.
there's the believer. So there's two dead people. And then there's the curse, the damned.
Right.
So you have two dead people that are going to be raised.
Yeah.
One is blessed, one is cursed. One lives, they've been free from bondage, they now live with their king on the earth, so they live. It says that they live, that's the key. The key here is 1,000 years and that they live. So what does it mean to live? Well, to be lived, you're free from bondage, you're free from sin. You are now living under a king's rulership in a perfect world, in a perfect environment, in a perfect government. The damned, they were alive in sin. And then when they died, right, now they're alive to death, but they're dead. They're dead in their sins, they're in bondage, they're suffering, right? They're eternally suffering.
Remember, nobody really died.
Right, right.
If you're a human being, you are eternal.
Right.
You're wrapped in death until the day of the resurrection.
Right.
That's when the dead shall become life.
Right.
That's when I take this corruption
That's
and
right.
put on incorruption. It's a change of metamorphosis. Right, thank you. It took me a while to get all the syllables in line. But you know, something changes at that day, at that time.
Absolutely, and that's the point. Is what does it mean to be dead? And so to me, they're alive. Everyone's alive, and then we, when Christ comes, we are resurrected unto eternal life. They are resurrected unto eternal damnation, which is death. So they're no longer alive. Even though they're alive, they're dead. You understand what that means?
Before we were born again, we were dead.
Exactly. Exactly. So to me, these people are now being tormented for 1,000 years, right? But in Revelation 20, it says, so we're looking at verse 6. Blessed and holy is he who hath part in the curse of one resurrection, two parts, the blessed and the damned. Hang on, Lance. The blessed and the damned. I see it. Blessed and holy he hath part in the first resurrection, that the second death.
Yeah.
He does not say a second resurrection. He says that the second death, that you have no part in the second death, had no power over them. Okay, so just turn to Hebrews 9. I'll get you a lens, because let me just work my way through this to get an idea. Look around Hebrews 9:26. It's about this part of Jesus' first coming and his second coming, right?
Everybody there?
Yeah, 26, 14.
I don't know where you're there.
Chapter
9,
verse 26. Chapter 9, verse 26.
Second coming, verse 26. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the end of the world, had he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Unto them that look to him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So the pattern here is, it's appointed for man once to die.
Right.
And he says, then cometh the judgment. Well, there's only two judgments. There's the judgment seat of Christ, right? Here, when he comes, you are judged. Everyone in eternity, whether you were on the earth or you were on the earth before he came or after, everyone is judged on whether you believed him
right.
or whether you rejected him. That's the judgment seat of Christ. That's done here. The great white throne judgment is for the unbeliever. They're going to be judged for their eternal suffering according to their works, according to their sins. He's going to judge them by the commandments, by the Ten Commandments, and he's going to make eternal torment according to their works. This is for the unbeliever. But everybody is judged at the judgment seat of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll look at it. So that's my point. It's appointed for man once to die after the judgment. So if
you'll get to Egypt.
And people are surviving here. When is their appointment to death?
Okay, before you get to that point, what are you trying to say here?
There's an important part of the passage we read in 20 that's been totally skipped here, and I'll read it. It's in verse 3 of 20, and when it talks about Satan being cast in the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. So that implies to me he's going to be released to deceive the nations again.
Yes, amen. There's no doubt about that.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's...
I think we're all in agreement. The question is, you believe the nations are up here, I believe they're down here.
Well, how can they be deceived again if they've already been deceived?
The deception is we can beat him this time. God is going to... How do they think they can defeat him now?
How did they think they could defeat him
at the cross? They thought they could defeat him at the cross. They were deceived, right? Wasn't the angelic realm deceived when they thought they could beat him at the cross? Is he not deceived right now? That he's still
he's already deceived. I can't...
But they're locked in.
It's like they're locked
right.
in. Yeah.
Right. They're already locked
now,
in.
Now, the question is it a... The difference here is it a physical group of people that are coming against God or the spirits that are locked up for the 1,000 years with Satan that are coming against God?
Both.
Okay, so the whole catch in the two different viewpoints here is one thinks that there's a physical, one thinks it's spiritual. All right? I'm on the... decide that it may be both.
I think it is both.
Yeah.
I think the spiritual is physical.
Oh, okay.
Don't forget, a resurrection is a spiritual, physical
right.
resurrection. They're really dimensional beings.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'll say it again. You brought that up.
I guess they call it flesh.
Yeah, I mean, they are okay. flesh. They are. It says that Jesus was in the flesh in his resurrection, since he handled me not. I'm not flesh and bone.
Yeah.
He was in his flesh. Angels have a nature. Right now they are flesh beings,
mm-hmm.
but we can't see them because they're in another dimension. But they can appear to
the
right.
word I should have used is dimensional.
Yeah. When they appeared with Abraham, they ate.
Right.
Right?
Right.
They drank. At one point with Daniel, he slams him, wake up.
You
right.
have angels.
Fallen angels,
yeah.
married, took women, procreated, they had DNA. So they are physical beings, but we can't see them because they're in another dimension. Right? Go ahead, Lance.
All right. So, where it says, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Those are the ones that are living through the 1,000-year reign. The rest of the dead, it doesn't say that the second or the second death doesn't have any power over them. It's kind of hitting towards, you know, they're not saved.
Right. Yeah, they're not saved. And what is the second death? But let me get back to...
that they're released after them.
Let me just get back to the...
I'm wrapping my mind around this, I think, real quick. All right, so right here, the dimensions change.
Yes.
What we start seeing from what we see now in the third dimension, right, our physical sight, smell, things like that, what we see right now, because even now we know what we see is not real. Right? I mean, there's a reality to this, but this is not the way God created it. Right? All the things, all the apple trees and the grass and all that stuff, all flesh is going to burn up. Right? We understand that. And then God's going to recreate, regenerate some things. So in the dimension, we'll just call this the dimension of flesh, the dimension of spirit. All right? And so when Christ comes, he's going to split this dimension in half.
That's right.
So that circle is 1 Thessalonians, thank you, 4:16.
That's right.
Yeah.
Because when he appears, he rips the veil of heaven open, and you can now see into the dimension. But he's got to start traveling.
So there's a dimension. Then Christ rise, and the people leave the earth.
That's right.
On Christ. Descension now.
Amen.
As he's descending, it's on fire. It's a purifying fire. For them, it's damnation. It's eternal suffering. For us, it's a purifying fire.
See, both are real.
That's right. They're both real. But
it's the dimensions that change.
That's right.
Okay? It's the dimensional thing that changes here.
Yeah.
Now, because
we are a third dimension to a fourth dimension.
Yeah. So our physical flesh, this dimension that we have
everyone's,
because again, like you've said before, we can't see God in our physical form, right? That's why God told Moses to get into the cleft of the rock, and you can see my hinder side.
That's right.
And when he saw the hinder side
of
God, even his countenance changed, right?
Yeah.
Am I saying it right? I'm not asking if you're getting it. I'm asking, are you understanding?
Well, there are clearly verses that say you cannot see God in human flesh or you'll die.
Or you'll die.
So even as an unbeliever, even as a wicked, I have to have a resurrected body to see God in the flesh. How do wicked angels, how does the devil, who's wicked, stand before God and accuse us to him? If he's in the presence of God, he needs a body that can take it.
Right. So there's the spiritual reality and the flesh reality.
That's right.
Right now we're living in the flesh reality.
That's right.
So what about in Ezekiel 38,
mm-hmm.
where they're burning the weapons of the armies?
So I don't see a problem with it.
And then burying the bones 7 months.
Yes.
Here's why. First of all, he says he's not doing it with wood. That's not the kind of burning that's taking place. There are things that take place here he's purifying the earth. He's still purifying things, even though it's being regenerated. In other words, the temple that is on the earth, it actually has to be purified first.
Right.
So there are things that take place, and the weapons that are being burned, they're not human weapons. This is the fallen angelic realm that come from another realm. Their bodies are going to come off of them. They're different bodies that are going to... It's going
to be very important.
Yes, right.
That's right.
It's going to be
very important.
Right. Well, we're saying that...
It's going to stink.
Absolutely. Don't forget, Kevin.
The angelic host smell.
So who's burying the bodies?
We are. We're going to be ruling and reigning with Christ for the 1,000 years.
But what about the Levite priest marrying?
Okay.
What about begetting children?
Okay. Yeah. So I've covered this. I've covered this 100 times. Once he talks about the Levite priest, first of all, you've taken Old Testament prophecies that are hard to understand, but the New Testament explains those things. So. The thing about the maidens, it says the Levite priest will take a maid. That's a virgin. That's a servant. She's not for marrying. And the people that are begetting wives, they will not take wives of the one women that were married or of I can't remember.
But the biblical picture here, Abraham's last wife.
Right.
She was a young virgin.
That's right.
He never knew her.
That's right.
But she was his wife. She slept with him. She kept him warm.
What
Abraham was
building her children, though.
No, the one before that was Abraham, Sarah, died.
So I'm going to cover. I covered that again too. But I'm going to ask you a question that I want you to answer.
Okay.
So the thing about begetting children, this is just a promise made to any Gentile. Since the time of Abraham, the Gentiles that they lived in the land of Israel, they sided with Israel. The Egyptians, when they left Egypt, God looked at them as Israelites. They were promised a portion of the land of Israel in Israel. That's all that is. It's a promise to Gentiles that dwelt among Jewish people, you're going to get an inheritance in that land. For us, our inheritance, I've never lived in Israel. I've never begat children in Israel. So my inheritance is going to be somewhere else, maybe Caledonia, right? But we meet in the heavenly temple, in the kingdom. We meet there. This is where we meet God. But the earth is going to remain. So I'm going to ask you, Jake. You keep throwing those verses at me, but I'm going to ask you about 1 Corinthians 15. Because I haven't got an answer for you for this. 1 Corinthians 15. Read 15 to me. So I just want to make sure. Jesus is coming,
yes.
And he's coming with his kingdom, right?
Yes.
His kingdom. So this is his kingdom. Okay. Read 50 for me.
Yeah. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corrupt inherit incorruption.
Okay. Flesh and blood cannot.
Right.
Inherit.
But it doesn't say that the kingdom cannot exist with people that go in the flesh.
No flesh.
They can exist together.
This doesn't even make sense. The kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Christ. Well, he ruled Christ that one day. He comes in his Father's kingdom. In his Father's kingdom, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So his kingdom is coming to the earth. Are you telling me that there is a separate kingdom on the earth at that time?
Christ rules and reigns from the start of the Lamb through the end and continues on.
So that's his kingdom.
Rule.
Yeah, right. Amen.
He never
relinquishes his kingdom.
His position.
Yes. Yeah.
I would say that at the great white judgment takes place,
mm-hmm.
Satan is loosed, he goes to deceive the nations,
yeah.
He deceives the nations. The judgment he judges at the great white throne comes down and John says, I beheld New Jerusalem coming down and God said, oh, behold, I make all things new. There is no flesh on the outside. And after this,
right.
Everything is new.
Right.
I make all things new.
Right.
And so, and I think that is, that's 2 Peter yeah. chapter 3, okay. where there is a burning.
Yeah.
Everything is burning.
And where does it come from?
It didn't happen with millions of thousands of rain.
So it, his hypothesis, or I don't know if you use these all as hypotheses. One thing that we ought to understand is we don't know. Okay, we really don't know.
Well, why do you, so you're saying that Revelation 21, where he says the new heaven and the new earth, that's here?
Yeah, great way from judgment.
Okay, well, let's look at it. All right? Book of Revelation. Tell me when this event is. Look at Revelation 7, 9, and then we'll look at Revelation 21. And we did this last week. Look at 7, 9.
Yeah, but last week was a plural thing.
Yeah,
that's true. You can't keep referring to that.
Yeah.
Because there's too much to put.
Okay, look at 7, 9. You tell me what event this is. And after this, I beheld below a great multitude, which no man can number, of all nations, and all kindreds, and all peoples, tongues, stood before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, and palms in their hands. So they have palms in their hands. They are about to practice the Feast of Tabernacles. When God dwells with man, what event is that? It's here.
Yeah.
When God dwells
yeah.
with man.
Yeah.
Okay, so look at Revelation 14.
Okay, hold on. He had a question before you go on Revelation
14. No, go ahead.
No, look at Revelation, the same thing, same chapter. So you have resurrected people.
So 7:14 now.
Right? Yep, 7. So 13. Yeah, one of the others.
Okay, because you said chapter 14, but you meant verse 14.
Yeah, 7. Same chapter, 7:13. And one of the elders answered unto me, saying, what are these that are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And he said, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of
great
tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the Lamb's blood. So there's tabernacles, resurrected people, right? After the tribulation. Not before the great resurrection, after the tribulation. Therefore, so listen to what it says. Therefore, they are before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple, and he sitteth on the throne, dwelleth among them. And they shall hunger, neither shall they thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them any more, nor any heat. So, listen to this next verse. And the Lamb which is in the midst of them shall feed them, and he shall lead them unto living waters, and God shall, remember this word, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. What event is that? Here, right?
Now, wait a second. Are you in the halfway tribulation there?
No, that's the day of the Lord.
So the day of the Lord is after 7 years of tribulation.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Well, the first verse that you read is in the fifth trump. So if we're with the Lord then, why do we have two more trumps?
Now.
Sure is. Because the sixth trump starts in 8.
No. 8 is 7th trump.
No.
Seal.
No.
Yeah. The seals.
The sixth trump judgments. And when he opened the seventh seal, not the trump, the seal.
Wait, where?
Yeah.
Chapter 8 of Revelation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it has a seal, not a trump.
Right. And well, what's he doing with that seal? See, this is the mistake of understanding. These are not chronological. He's opening up the sixth seal to show the trumpets. That's all that is. He's now, through the first six seals, he's taking you from to the day of the Lord. He's taking you to the day of the Lord.
He's doing that after what you're called saving Christ has already come.
I'm not saying it. That's clearly...
That's what you're doing. Take
a
deep
breath.
Okay.
Let me back up, because we're chasing rabbit trails. What I'm trying to show...
It's a good point.
It is, but let me just back up, because it is a rabbit, because...
I was trying to make a point.
Right.
I was trying to make a point in the new heaven and the new earth. Some people believe it's here.
Right.
And the point I'm trying to make is that it's here.
Right.
And now we're chasing that, and we will. So my point was, if you go back, if this here is a resurrection, a great multitude which no man can number. I didn't say it. He says it. It says after great tribulation. It says these are they which came out of great tribulation.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay? So this is this event here.
Okay, now, okay. Okay,
the 17 again. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Right? Same event. It's the same event. It's right here. Okay, Revelation 21, verse 4. What does that say? Is that not the same event? Or does he wipe away tears here and then tears here?
Okay. Let me just start at 21 and verse.
Yeah.
Chapter 21.
I know. We are
verse 1.
Wait, Kev. We are going. Just read to me verse 4 there.
And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away.
Okay, now go ahead and read the rest of it. There you want to read.
Okay. And I saw new chapter 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Now, going back to chapter 20 and verse 11, and I saw, this is after Satan was loose. I should have started here. After Satan was loose, after 1,000 years, and he went out and he deceived the nations, which were in the four quarters of the earth, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And going down to verse 11, it says, in verse 10 it says, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire. God defeats, it's just in a millisecond, they're destroyed. He was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. So there's a great white throne. And after this great white throne, there's the judgment. And then in chapter 21, it says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth.
And?
For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. So there was something old, obviously, by conjecture. There was something old before there was something new. Right? And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth
were
passed away.
When did they
pass
away?
And there was no more sea. Hold on. It says, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. So now something's descending. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Could this be the Father? New Jerusalem and the Son's day, the Son.
He says he's coming with the Father. Matthew 26:64 says, when he comes, he's coming with the Father's kingdom. I will eat of the great supper in my Father's kingdom.
Okay.
He's coming with the Father.
We're still thinking of the differences here. God and Jesus, the Father and the Holy Spirit, they're one.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Right.
I understand. But there is a Trinity.
Yes, there is a Trinity. Yes.
And we know, and I don't know if this is would be, they're going to come together again.
Right, yes.
They're going to come together.
Amen. In fact, Jesus said, I sit in the Father on his throne. In the Father.
See, I think the reason why this controversy mm-hmm. is taking place is because nobody talks about it.
Yeah.
And this has been something that people have, we're watching dire times, dire straits. People realize the rubber is hitting the road now.
Yeah, and that's why I'm saying one thing.
Yeah, come on.
We're all here sitting, right. Discussing.
Yes.
A vacation that we're going to take.
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to be on this great vacation. And once that circle hits,
yes,
there isn't going to be any more. Well, in the next 1,000 years, we're going to do this. No,
Amen.
It's all taken care of. And you know what the worst part of it is?
Come on.
There's millions out there right now that would like to know about this vacation, and we'd rather talk about the next million years after we go on vacation.
Again, but I said last week and the week before about what happened to Constantinople before the Huns, before the Muslims came and took over. The churches were there having a great discussion, much like us. And their discussion was, what color were the eyes of Mary?
I wouldn't quote that with this.
But what I'm saying, the real thing is how do we live now? I mean, yes, this is really important.
Well, is there going to be flesh after Christ takes us home?
This is what we're trying to find
this
out.
This is what we're trying to find out.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, do I really care? I'm with Christ. Christ is just taking care of
Why don't we just go lay down on a mountain?
No, that's not what I'm saying. And
that's right.
Yeah.
To me,
amen.
I don't mind the disagreement.
Right.
I think we talked about this Tuesday.
Yeah.
I really believe that the church is really illiterate. Even 200 years ago, if this subject was talked about, it was easy for people to understand. Because now we are grabbing doctrines of men.
Yes.
We are running with doctrines of men. We're getting ideas from everywhere else instead of just being in the Scripture. And it is, like Doug said, what difference does it make? It is faith building. Faith cometh by hearing, and by hearing the Word of God. The more doctrine you understand, the more He builds your faith, the closer He draws it to you. It's in your Bible. The answers are in the Bible. Should we not seek it out? Or should we just go lay down and say, well, I'm saved?
No, but you can still allow for the difference of opinion.
Absolutely.
That needs to be done.
Absolutely.
I learn by listening to everybody.
Right.
So let me help
you. God will teach me.
Yeah.
But he uses men.
And so that's what I say. To me, the question is, does flesh and blood survive this? And it led to a new heaven and a new earth. And it led to all these different patterns. And then now it led to that Jesus Christ is coming without the Father. When he said, the next time I come, I'm coming with the Father. Even Daniel said that he delivers up the kingdom to the Father. Matthew 26:64. They asked him, are you the Christ? And thou said, nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see the Son of Man coming at the right hand of power, that's God, coming at the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Titus 2:13. Doug, you grab that? Titus 2:13. Read it nice and slow, and you tell me if Christ is coming without the Father.
Titus 2:13. Nice and slow. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ.
He's coming with the Father. Revelation 6, 14. In heaven, departed as a scroll, when it is rolled together, and every mountain, every island will move out of their places, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich man, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in dens, and in rocks, and of mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne. That's the Father. And from the wrath of the Lamb. That's the Lamb. Coming together. For the great day of his wrath is coming, who shall be able to stand? So, I'm going to go back to Revelation 21. Once again, Revelation 7:9 says he's going to wipe away all tears at this event. Revelation 21 says he's going to wipe away all tears, and with the wiping away of all tears, it doesn't say, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. He says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first earth were passed away, as it were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city coming down. And so the holy city is who? The bride.
Mm-hmm.
right? The bridegroom and the bride. Is that not us? And it says it's coming down on the earth. Our kingdom is going to be on the earth.
So the day of the Lord, you think there's a new heavens and a new earth?
So
There's just a word that you kind of got a little twisted up.
Yeah. And that's exactly what I'm saying. So once again, turn to 2 Peter. 2 Peter. And
chapter 3, verse 5.
Hang on a second. Okay, so, first of all, he's talking about verse 6. He's comparing it to the flood. Did the world not change at the flood?
Yes,
clearly. So he's comparing it to the flood. So, when is Jesus coming as a thief in the night? First Thessalonians 5. Here, right?
Yeah.
He's coming on then. He uses those exact words. He's coming as a thief in the night on this event. Okay? The Lord, verse 9. Verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. This is 2 Peter 3:10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away, and great noise and elements shall melt with fervent heat, and earth also, in the works thereof, shall be burned up. Seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for the hasting unto the coming day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat.
Right.
Look at the next verse. Somebody read that for me.
Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwells righteousness.
When is the new heaven and the earth? It comes in the thief of the night. It's a thief of the night. Revelation 21:1. I saw a new heaven and a new earth.
Okay, all right. As we're getting into, there's two folks that raised their hand. Jake's about to bust a nut. His head. James has had his hand several times.
Exactly.
Really calm. Go ahead, Lance. What you got?
Okay, so what if there's two Earths? What if there's
we're not going there. The fourth
dimensional Earth.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because
are you talking like quantum physics?
No, I'm saying this earth is going to be passed away, right?
Yes, right.
And then that tabernacle is coming down to meet the earth.
Yes.
And just say that the earth I'm not saying it's a different earth. You're looking at it from a different dimension.
It's regenerated.
Amen. We'll go with that. I will.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Okay, so this is like a two-dimensional plane.
Right.
It still exists in a three-dimensional plane.
Right.
So three-dimensional Earth still exists in that fourth-dimensional plane.
Right.
We can't see the fourth dimension.
Right. But it's still here. Amen.
That's why I'm saying I think the new heavens and the new Earth.
It is an unveiling.
Yeah.
It's a opening up of consciences and minds and seeing things through a new, they got off the boat. It was a new world, although it was the same world that it was on before the flood.
A connection into the spiritual plane.
Right.
Yeah.
Before we leave 2 Peter 3, verse 12, is mine the only one that ends with a question mark?
No.
Yeah, it's with a fervent heat.
I think your question.
Well, we read it as
fast. The question mark is in 11.
One sentence.
The question is being asked in
12, right?
Amen.
The question, there's no question mark in 11, but there's a question being asked.
That's right.
Okay, go ahead. In that chapter.
Which one?
2 Peter chapter 3.
Okay.
Peter mentions, the day of the Lord is 1,000 years. 1,000 years is as the day of the Lord, says the Lord. So you can call the day of the Lord the millennial reign, too. Okay, so you tell me then,
In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, when he comes as a thief in the night, is it taking him 1,000 years to come?
No.
He's saying the second coming is coming as a thief in the night. And he's already saying that he's going to melt everything as a thief in the night.
Well, what about all the passages that talk about the survivors?
Okay.
I haven't seen them. Wait, Jake.
First, I want you to calm down.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
If we can't do this quarterly,
okay.
We can't do
it. Well, let's look at Isaiah 13 and 24 that he mentioned last week and skip the survivors.
Okay. Isaiah 13, right?
That's crazy. Isaiah 13. What's 13?
Isaiah 13.
Yep.
Yeah.
And now he covers some of this previous, but if you go down to verse starting at 12,
okay,
it says,
yeah,
in Isaiah 13, 12 through 14, it says, I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man than a golden wedge of Ophir. Not non-existent, but very rare. Therefore will I shake the heavens and the earth, shall remove out of the place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts, and in the day of fierce anger. And it shall be as the chaste roe, and as the sheep that no man taketh up. They shall every man turn to his own people, and flee every one into his own land.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they got to survive to do that.
You know, you're adding stuff there. First of all, the man that's being fine gold, that's a refiner's gold. He's being purified. He's being refined. And the few men left, Jay, are the resurrected Jewish people that God is going to resurrect when he comes. So everyone's getting resurrected.
Okay, let's look at chapter 24 and see what that says. And it covers similar.
Same book.
Same book. Chapter 24. And we'll start at, say, start at 4. The earth mourneth and fadeth away. The world languisheth and fadeth away. The haughty people of the earth do language. The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore hath the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are desolate. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men left.
I just covered that. Well, the few men left, first of all, on the day of the Lord, you have a resurrection. It's a resurrection. You have God gathering the people in heaven. Then you have a bunch of people being caught up. You also have a remnant of Jewish people. There are 15 million Jews on the planet right now. God said in Zechariah 13, 8 and 9, that he's going to bring them through the fire and he's going to purify them. That's a resurrection. Ezekiel 37 is a resurrection of the one-third of Jewish people. They're the ones left. That when God comes down, he resurrects them. They don't get caught up. They're not already up in here. They are here. They get purified. As we said, the cylinder comes down. The refiner's fires. God said, I'm a consuming fire. When he's coming, he's consuming all things. He's purifying the believer, and he's burning the unbeliever. That's what I say.
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are the example of what you're talking about.
Exactly. And now the hair of your head, they didn't smell. This is a picture of a resurrected Jewish person. That's very good.
Skip.
Yeah, I got a couple of little points that kind of go together. First of all, what does the word rain mean? I generally think of reigning meaning somebody over somebody, ruling somebody, making decisions, and all that kind of stuff. And I don't see where that's happening in the 1,000 years there. But then at the same time, you've got the great white throne judgment, but there was already a previous judgment. They seem like the same thing over again, but really, years ago, somehow, I had gotten the impression that during the 1,000 years, towards the end of it at least, there were some people that had forgotten God, never learned about God. They weren't necessarily bad people, but they just had never quite They're
not the same judgment. First of all, the great white throne is for the unbeliever. He's going to get that's right. They've already been judged on what they believe. So,
Why judge them again if they've already been judged?
Because they're going to be judged according to the punishment level.
Here you go, Skip, real quick. You put your garbage in a garbage bag in your house.
That's right.
And then once a week, you take that garbage bag out to the garbage dump outside, and they take it and dispose of it.
Okay. I was just thinking that there were some other people in the middle there, maybe Jews, maybe
some other
ones.
God already judged, the righteous.
I was getting the impression that there were some children and whatever during the millennium.
Well, I think we have, and I have this understanding, too, because of Isaiah 14. And he talks about the wolf and the lamb and all that kind of stuff, where he says, where's a good place to start in Isaiah 14? 6 before. But thou shalt take up a proverb, this is Isaiah 14:4, against the king of Babylon, and say, how hath the oppressor ceased? How has the one who's been oppressing you stopped? The golden city ceased. And the Lord hath broken the staff of the wicked, and the scepter of the rulers. All right, so the ones that were ruling, God snapped their authority off, their scepter and their rule. He who smite the people with wrath in a continual stroke, he that ruleth the nations with anger is persecuted, and none hindereth. The whole earth is at rest. All right, for 1,000 years, the whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They broke forth unto singing, and the fir trees rejoiced, and the cedars of Lebanon, saying, since thou art laid down, no filler is come upon us, and help from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirred up the dead from thee, even the chaff, the chief ones of the earth. It hath raised up from their throne all the kings of the nations. I'm reading 14. I was supposed to be in 11. I'm sorry, guys. Because I was reading that, and I said, man, that's not what I was thinking. 11:6, because it's talking about the line. All right, so 5. And the righteous shall be the girdle of his loins, and the faithfulness of the girdle of his reign. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lay down with the kid, and the calf shall... And the young lion shall be fattened together, and the little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, and the young one shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox, and the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the crocodile's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in my holy mountain. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of God, and the waters as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, and stand in the inside of the peoples. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and the rest shall be glorious.
So you have perfect harmony.
And this is where all of this started in the men's group. I said, if there's really this peace on the earth, what are we going to be ruling over?
And what are we? So just think of this.
Yes.
When God created Adam and Eve, what did he give them dominion over? Over the animals, over the plants.
Right.
We're not going to be meat eaters. Clearly, animals aren't going to be eating each other. Right? And we're talking about this event here. You need a regenerated earth for them to live in.
Can you tell me what verse 11 means on that?
I'm not there.
I know. And it shall come to pass in that day, the day that I'm speaking of is what Pastor Curtis just wrote, that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Pathros and from Cush and from Elam and from Sinar and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea. What does that mean?
Amen.
Well, they're going to be scattered again at the end. They're going to be scattered again, and he's going to gather them again.
So he's going to gather his remnant a second time.
But he's already gathered them once.
Well, but it says, and again, he'll set his hand to recover his remnant.
Yeah, the second. He's already gathered them out of Egypt. The second time.
Well, you're talking about from Moses' Egypt.
Yeah.
All right, now he's going to be regaining them. All the
save the righteous from the these places that he's talking.
Yeah, they're going to be scattered.
This will be happening while there's peace on earth.
Yeah.
This is the millennium.
That's what I thought.
But
yeah.
Where is the infant and the young child coming from?
It says there will be no more infant of days.
And he just said the child will leave these animals.
But what is a child? He says a child is a child of God. He's not a toddler playing in a playpen.
Now when he's talking about a suckling.
Yeah.
So he's talking about a physical.
He's talking about a little child. So go ahead.
Okay.
Well, I still think that resurrected people are going to grow into maturity through resurrection.
Okay. I just want I got some scripture here that kind of
answers these.
Yeah, it's Zechariah 14 and verse 16 verse
21.
Yeah, 20 would say it says Zechariah, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the feast of tabernacles. And it shall be that though that whoso will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not, that there that have no rain, there shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the feast of tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the feast of tabernacles. In that day shall there be upon the bells of the horses holiness unto the Lord, and the pots of the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar.
Yeah, the plague is
no
eternal damnation. So they're not going to come up. They're not the people that are not saved of those nations. They're desolate. This is desolation. Damnation is desolation. They're not going to come up on the day to keep the feast of tabernacles. There will be no. It's not talking about this rain. It's talking about the Holy Spirit. There will be no rain on them. They will have no rain on them.
But it's choice. It sounds choice to me.
There shall be a plague.
So look at 12. 12 says, and this is the plague where the Lord will smite all people that have fought against Jerusalem. Listen to the plague. He's talking about the plague of the Egyptian. He's talking about the plague. Their flesh shall consume away upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their holes. So they're going to be consumed. That's the plague. They're going to be desolate. They're not coming to the Feast of Tabernacles. Because they're not on the earth, they're not saved, they're desolate. There's been no rain on them. There's nothing but a plague on them.
Is there a rain on the unbelievers today?
But in verse 16,
there is rain on the just and the unjust today.
And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations, that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year. I don't know, to worship the King. See, I have questions about this. I really do. I keep, and I know, Tommy, I appreciate what you're doing. I do. I don't, I'm just kind of like in a quandary. You know?
So, I mean, to me, the understanding is, how do I understand that verse then? We are going to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles from year to year. But the year that the people that do not celebrate it this first time, they're not coming. They're not coming from year to year. They are eating up the plague in verse 12. And this shall be the plague when the Lord will smite all the people. So what does all mean? All the people that have fought against Jerusalem, their flesh shall consume away. That's the plague that their flesh is consumed. 15, the plague of the horse. The plague, the tents of the plague.
And this shall be that whoso will not come up of all the families. It sounds like it's a choice. It sounds like it's an act of volition. It sounds like it's their choice that they're not coming up again. And the Lord saying, no rain.
What about the people that don't attack Jerusalem?
Everyone, no.
Well, see, the other people on the other side of the world.
No, they're all going. Matthew 24, I think you'll agree with me. Matthew 24, the ones taken and the ones left, Matthew 24, Mark 13, the ones taken are being taken to Armageddon. They're taken to fight against Jerusalem. They are being taken to the Valley of Hinnom, to the Valley of Slaughter. There's two raptures that take place here. One is all the people that are against God, he's going to bring them to Armageddon. Those are the ones taken. The ones left are the left.
Instead of rapture, you should use the word transport.
I know.
Okay.
Yeah,
or rather, we have this picture.
Yeah.
Right? So
yeah.
The transport, like Philip was transported to Antioch.
That's right.
That type of transport.
Mark 13. Turn to Mark 13.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Right. So I think maybe everybody had a good point, you know, and you're trying to fit the physical earth into this timeline. What if there is a fourth dimensional earth? You know what I mean? What if there's a connection with the fourth dimension, the spiritual plane? And it's connected to a spiritual earth. Because it says in, where is that? It says in verse 13, well, 12 and 13 of Isaiah. So chapter 12, verse 12 and 13, it says, I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir. So that's somebody that probably has a glorified body, right? They're refined. And then it says, therefore, I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place, in the wrath of the Lord of hosts, and in the day of his fierce anger. So maybe you can't make it fit on a physical earth, or what everyone's
in our physical mind. See, we're trying to get this where our finite mind's trying to wrap around these infinite concepts. Adam could do it because he had full use of all of his mind. We only have about 10%. And remember, there's 7 utterances of thunder that John was not allowed to write. The reason he wasn't allowed to write is to keep these discussions up. Right?
I think it's here for us to search the scripture.
It says the woman is hidden in the wilderness for so many days.
That's right.
It's like, it wouldn't be beyond God to basically take his chosen, the ones that he wants, and put them in the fourth dimension, in that spiritual plane. So if there is a spiritual earth, but it doesn't say a renewed earth. It says a new heavens and a new earth.
He says it's regenerate. We'll look at it. But I just want to get to the back of what Skip's saying.
Okay.
Now, on this day, either you're for him or against him. And if you're against him, he's going to move you over to the Valley of Slaughter, to Armageddon. I'll prove it to you. Luke 17:24. For as lightning that lighteth out of one part of heaven shineth to the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. Okay? So then he goes on to say it's going to be like the days of Noah. Right? What did he do? He regenerated the planet. He destroyed the planet. It's the same planet, but it's different. Okay? Verse 30, even thus shall it be in the Son of Day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, which is upon the housetop, and his stuff in his house, let him not come down and take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in that night there will be two men in one bed. One shall be taken, the other left. Two of them shall be grinding at the mill. One taken, the other left. Two men shall be in the field, one taken, the other left. And he answered unto and said unto him, where? Where are they taken? And he said unto me, wheresoever the body is, thither are the eagles gathered. That's Armageddon. People are going to be taken to Armageddon. God calls it, Jeremiah calls it the Valley of Slaughter, the Valley of Hinnom. Why? Why there? Why the Valley of Hinnom? Because that's where they offered the babies.
Okay.
That's the Valley of Hinnom. And then God says that he's going to judge everyone in the Valley of Jehoshaphat. That's not Armageddon. That's the Mount of Olives. So there's a day of slaughter and a day of judgment.
Jason, up with us.
I think Revelation 16 plays in this, and if you go to Revelation 16 and start at verse 13,
go ahead.
It says, "And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world, to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called, in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon."
So, and what did he call it? He's in the night. So is that a 1,000-year period? Because now I can make the day of the Lord a 1,000 years.
So we've heard this time of thief in the night, three different places, three different scriptures. Is that thief in the night all the same moment?
He says it comes on them sudden destruction.
So, and there's, I like to take things that sound, that are the same verbiage, and tie them together. The sky's rolling back, the new heavens and new earth, all that being unveiled, right? And if you really take those, this here and this here, because they're the same, it brings you to a center point.
That's right.
Right? And in that center point, that is the day of the Lord. Right. Go ahead, Jay.
Remember, the day of the Lord does include 1,000 years. And when they get conquered, at the end of 1,000 years, do you think they expect it? They think they're going to win. So it's going to be on them like a thief too.
But then, at the end of the 1,000 years, Satan's released and he goes and he gathers the army.
Yeah.
Is that not a...
To conquer God and saints.
Let me finish. Is that not a spiritual thing? Because they come up out of the pit and the four corners of the earth. Right? Yeah. Is he calling actually Tom, Dick, George, and Mary Sue to come and fight against God? Or is he calling God, the spiritual may-God, the spiritual nations tool.
Well, like Ezekiel mentions, they get their land during the millennial reign.
Yeah.
They're begetting children. The priests are marrying wives.
Okay. We're redundant now.
Yeah.
Well, you got to read that scripture.
I have.
Well,
not you. Everybody here needs to read.
No, I want to go back to this. I want to go back to the new heaven and the new earth. Okay. Matthew 19:28. Makes it clear. Matthew 19:28, and I think it's in Mark. Look at Mark 10. Doug, Mark 10, 28-31. Nancy, Luke 18, 28-30. And listen to what it says. Matthew 19:28. "And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that you which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit upon his throne of his glory, and ye shall also sit on 12 thrones, judging 12 tribes of Israel." So he just called his second coming the regeneration. What does that mean? What does regeneration mean? Does it mean refurbished? Does it mean I'll put a paint job on the earth and it's really the same word? It's a regenesis. And even Romans chapter 8 says all of creation is groaning for the manifestation of the Son of God, when the creature shall be made perfect too. If this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality, and then it says death is swallowed up in victory, that's the last trumpet, that's the resurrection. So there you go. He called it a regeneration. Go ahead, Doug, and then Nancy.
What were the verses in Mark 10?
28-31.
28-31, okay. "Then Peter began to say unto him, Lo, we have left all and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake and the gospel. But he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses, and the brethren, and sisters, and mothers, and children, and the land, with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last first."
So what did he call that? The world to come. Is the world to come this world, or is it another world? Nancy, go ahead. And then go to Revelation 21.
This is Luke 18, 30, 28, right?
Right.
And Peter said, lo, we have left all and followed thee. And he said unto them, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or parents, or brethren, or wife, or children, for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time, and in the world to come, life everlasting.
The world to come? The world to come. Matthew 28, the synoptic gospel, calls it the regeneration. Luke, Mark, and Luke call it the world to come. Okay, so I'll show you something. Here, Matthew 24, they asked him, 24:3, and have your finger in Revelation 21, and again, 2 Peter. So, Matthew 24, the question to Jesus is, 24:3, and he sat upon the Mount of Olives, and the disciples came up to him privately, tell us, what shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming, and
the
end of the world. The end of the world. Matthew 24, okay, 29, immediately after the tribulation of these days, okay, we know that the sun and moon darkened, verse 30, then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man, so there's the first answer for that, and all tribes of the earth shall mourn, okay. So look at verse 33. So likewise, when you see all these things, know it is near, even at the door. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all things be fulfilled. What are the next verse? Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words will not pass away. So he's tying the end of the world with the passing away of the heaven and earth when he comes. And then if you go on to keep reading, he compares it to the day of Noah when he destroyed the planet. And it was a new world. He compares it to Sodom. When he destroyed Sodom, the Sodom was the same place, but now it was a different place. Hang on, Jake, Lance, let me get through this. So, pass away. He said, heaven and earth will pass away. Once again, Revelation 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth were passed away. That's what he just said in Matthew 24, and he said that about his second coming, and he's saying it here in Revelation 21. Pass away. So,
wait a minute, Tom, right there. Verse 1, end of verse 1. This is the fourth time we've covered 21:1. And we just skipped over there was no more sea.
Yeah.
I'll
tell you what. What is the sea?
People.
Iniquity. Right? Revelation 17 says the waters, our tongues, our people, our waters, they are the sea of iniquity. And if there's no more sea of iniquity, where are they? I actually think that's a great verse. I failed to bring it up, but I think Marshall actually brought it up. The sea is the sea of iniquity, the iniquity of people. If there's no more sea, that means they're down here. Okay, so pass away. Where is it? Once again, 2 Peter. So we have a passing away of the earth. Jesus said that the earth is going to pass away. 10, once again, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night in which the heavens shall pass away. Same word. He didn't say it's a 1,000-year period. You know, it's almost like we see that verse there, now we apply it to everything. But if he's coming as a thief in the night, it's not taking him 1,000 years to get here. If he's burning up the earth as a thief in the night, it's not 1,000 years to burn it up. If he's saying it's passed away, it's passed away. He says if the earth passed away, so once again, Revelation 20. And this is where I think people make a mistake. They're saying the people fled away. That's not what it says. 20:11, and I saw a great white throne, he that sat on whose face the earth and heaven fled. Past tense, fled. Fled is past. And it already passed away, and this is going to go along with what Mark just said, and there was no place found for them. So, if there's a new heaven and earth fled away, passed away, and there's going to be a new heaven and earth, there's no place found for them, where are they? Go ahead.
It says a new heaven and a new earth. It does not say it's renewed. Regeneration would be
through Genesis.
Yeah, but it would be a new heaven and a new earth. It wouldn't be, you know, the same earth. It's like, what if these events are happening on two different planes? What if the people, you know what I mean, that...
Is he coming on two different planes, or is he coming on this plane? If all the world
he's coming on this plane, but then that earth is passed away.
I agree.
So you have a spiritual earth that people can't wrap their head around.
Right, exactly. I agree.
That's why these events don't fit if you just consider a physical earth.
That's right. That's what I said. He said, heaven, what is that coming in the end of the world? He said that world is going to pass away. Once again, Luke 20, about that world and his kingdom. He's not coming without the Father. Luke 20, 27 says, the Sadducees were asking him about the resurrection. Okay? Verse 33, Luke 20, 33, and in the resurrection, whose wife of them shall she be? For seven had her wife. And Jesus said unto her, the children of this world, marry and are given in marriage. But they which are accounted and worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection. So now he's applying the two at the same point. The resurrection and that world. Right? They neither are married or are given in marriage. Neither can they die anymore. That's Revelation 21. That's 1 Corinthians 15. No more death. No more sorrow. Right? Neither can they die anymore, for they are equal unto the angels and are children of God, being children of the resurrection. And that the dead are raised, even Moses showed in the bush, and he called for the Lord, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. So when they live again, it's not because they're going to come out and deceive people out of the world, it's because Christ, who has the keys, and opens and no man shuts, he unlocks the bottomless pit, and they go, we can get them! We can get them again! Let's go! And they all come, the Bible, Revelation 20, says that they went on the breath of the earth. They come up on the breath of the earth, God consumes them, now they go to the great white throne judgment, and they are cast into the lake of fire. I'll say it again. It is appointed for man once to die. When did they die? If they just went, if people survived and they just went to the second death, when did they die the first time? The first time is a physical dying. Mm-hmm. The second death, Revelation 20, what even is the second death? Revelation 20. Okay, Revelation 20. 11, I saw a great white throne, okay? 12, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things written in the books according to their words. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell gave up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Damnation and the lake of fire are two different things.
Amen.
Okay? Revelation 21, same thing. He says, but verse 8, but the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire with burned with fire and with brimstone, which is the second death. So, if it is appointed for a man once to die, that is a physical death.
Yes.
That's not just us. The angelic realm is going to die like men. They are going to die like human beings, but they are a spiritual, dimensional being. Their body's different. Their armaments are different. Their weapons of warfare are different, they're spiritual. That's why I think those are the things that are being, it takes 7 years. It's a cleansing process. Go ahead.
Revelation chapter 15, 1 through 2 supports that. It says, and I saw another sign having great marvelous, seven angels having the seven lampstands, for in them is filled out the wrath of God. and I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, that would be humanity now, like, glorified.
That's right.
That would be a pure sea. And then they had gotten victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name. So that would be the battle, you know, with
right.
hands and whatnot, standing on the sea of glass, having the marks of God. So there's going to be a transformation there where you have a glorified humanity, you know, with that higher connection with God.
That's right.
And it might not exist the way we see it here.
It will not exist the way we think.
We cannot understand a fourth dimension. We can understand a spiritual plane.
Right.
Never seen it, so
that's right.
It's not.
And I think that's how we're limited in understanding.
Yeah. I think that's where a lot of arguments are coming in, because there's a lot of events that would fall into play if you did consider that, you know, if somebody's reigning over somebody, they could be reigning over them in a spiritual plane versus a physical earth.
What else does it mean to reign over somebody? It doesn't mean that you're just they're under your dominion. It means that you just defeated them too. That also, there's different words of reign. It also means that you just defeated them. That's also a reign. So you may want to wrap it up, and you know what? We can continue this.
Well, one real quick. When you're speaking of reign, our government reigns over us.
Yeah,
it's not a matter that they're whipping us or
right.
whatnot, but
yeah.
We're being reigned over.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, when they tell you you've got to wear a safety belt, you're being reigned over.
Tom, you can close it out.
All right. Father God, Lord, we are thankful that for your word. We are thankful that you would keep the unity here. Yeah. Lord, things get hot and heated, and it's because these things have not been talked about. And we are delving into a place that most churches will not touch, Lord. And there's passion on both sides of it, different views of it. Lord, you're the author and finisher of the faith. It is you. It is your word. These are your scriptures. You have given them to us in this perfect book for understanding. But we do not pretend that we will know everything in this world.
Thank you, Jesus.
And I do thank you that the seven thunders will probably reveal a lot of these things, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you would keep the unity here.
Yes.
That the anxiety, not the anxieties, but the tension would be caught, and that we would still love one another. We are on the same page. We know that we are going to go through this, Lord. And we pray that you would just guide us, and you will open up the scriptures the way you want to. You will teach us the way you want us to. Let us just be faithful to the word. And Lord, I pray that you would bless Curtis, as he brings forth more of your word, Lord, that we would just keep eating it up, that we would just devour your word. To say that these things don't matter, they matter. This is your word, and we want to draw closer to you by drawing closer to your word. And I pray that you would just step Curtis aside and feed your flock through him. In Jesus' precious name, amen.